Lord be with you.
And
read it from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. One of the Pharisees, a lawyer, in an attempt to trip up Jesus, asked him, "Teacher, which commandment of the law is the greatest?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. Second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, the whole law is based, and the prophets as well." The Gospel of the Lord. One of the most important symbols in the sacrament of baptism is that candle. See that big candle? It was really big about 6 months ago. It was like about Father Craig. Now it's down to Father Antolini. But the name hasn't changed. The name is in Spanish, Sirio Pascual, tiene nombre y apellido. So it's got first name and second name. His name is Sirio Pascual, Pascual Candle. And, you know, it's what it really means symbolically is Jesus, who is the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world. And all of you have a candle. I hope you do. And you're going to be lighting your candle shortly after the baptism. You're going to be coming back to your place with a candle. Light it. There's always the danger when you come through this door that there's wind. Okay, there's wind. And that wind, that could blow out the candle. So the key is you've got to cup it. Cup it means you've got to put your hand in front of the candle and you have to walk like this. And you can't sneeze either, okay? Gesundheit, okay? You can't sneeze. And you have to make sure that that wind is not going to be blowing out the candle. Well, you know, we have the light within us, and that light can go out.
Yep.
It can be extinguished. If we say we commit a mortal sin, it's extinguished. Venial sin is kind of flickering. It's flickering on the blink. No? So it's up to all of you to give light to these children. You're called to give light. What are ways in which that can be done? Well, first is teach them to pray. Okay, pray with them and pray for them. In a couple of weeks, I have the privilege of one of my oldest nephew is going to be coming to visit to celebrate their 10th anniversary. And they have four children expecting their fifth. So they've outdone both of you. And they have, their oldest son is about his age. Okay. I went to visit them in Florida, and when he was three, he could already pray the rosary at three. Now, a child praying the rosary at three, how on earth could that happen? Probably going to say because his uncle is a priest. Okay, I thought you were going to say. Well, maybe not because I'm the priest and I'm praying for my nephew because I'm his godfather, actually. But I think the parents really work to teach them how to pray. What do you think? I don't think that they put a Bible underneath his pillow when he woke up, you know, praying the rosary, no? Parents taught him how to pray. Usually when they start out catechism or the kids are 7 or 8, they don't even know how to make the sign of the cross, usually. Sad to say. So teach them how to pray. Teach them how to pray. Second point is this. It's called permanent formation. professionals in this country have to always be what's called a constant state of formation, permanent formation. My nephew's father is my brother. And I saw him in vacation. He's getting close to his mid-60s, and he's a orthopedic surgeon. Okay? So he's a back surgeon. No? And he's been practicing probably, I say, a good 35 years. When I met him, he had to pass another test. Wouldn't you think that when you're in your mid-60s, as they say in Spanish, basta, no? And he's a graduate from Dartmouth and Columbia, summa cum laude, maybe those Ivy League colleges on the East Coast, no? You'd think that he probably wouldn't have to do any more studies, but if he makes a mistake as a surgeon, the guy's going to be paralyzed, and that's going to be probably $50,000 out of his pocket, right? Because of malpractice, right? Shouldn't we be professional Catholics? Amen or oh me? Oh me. That should be an amen, right?
Yes.
So, keep studying your faith. A pastoral commentary. I think in the past 50 years, one of the biggest failings is this. The church dedicates time to the children for their first communion. We dedicate time also for confirmation. But what about the adults? The adults have been neglected. There are adults that are 30, 40, 50 years old. They still have a catechetical education of an 8-year-old. That's terrible, isn't it? Because there's what's called a law of growth. We grow physically. We grow intellectually, I hope, right? We grow affectively. We grow emotionally, but we're stunted spiritually. We become dwarfs, or they say in Spanish, enanos. O nietos de enanos, no? So, starting today, we're going to make the firm purpose to try to grow in our faith. We've never lived in a world with so much confusion, but we never live in a world with so much information. And it's just a question of knowing how to use the good information to learn our faith. There's a lot of good books out there. I've written 3 of them, okay? A lot of good books out there, okay? There's a lot of good websites out there. There's a lot of good radio programs on them. I'm in one of them, okay? So there's a lot of good stuff out there. But it's a question of avoiding the bad and choosing the good. Amen?
Amen?
And the last thing I would have to say is this. The Catholic Church is a church that communicates its grace in many ways. What is grace? Participation in the life of God. Good, concise definition. But the most powerful channel of grace, or channels of grace, are through the sacraments. Therefore, right now, 2 children are going to receive sacraments. And they're going to receive this sacrament only once. Now, if you're to become a born-again Christian or Jehovah Witness, don't even think about it. You try to baptize your child, it's not worth a hill of beans, okay? Because once baptized, you don't baptize a second time. But there are other sacraments that you receive more than once. What are they? Don't say marriage, okay? Okay, one is confession. And the other would be? Right. Shit, you know, so confession and the Eucharist, we have to receive as often as possible. As often as possible. So I want to see all of you in Mass tomorrow, right? Hello? All of you have to be in Mass tomorrow. And not simply, as they say in Spanish, caliente banca. You know what a caliente banca is? You bench warmer? No. You don't want to be a calienta banca, but you want to be participating. No? You don't want to be a third or fourth string baseball player. You want to be hitting the ball, huh? So coming to church tomorrow, the most important day of the week is Sunday. It's Sunday. You're a polyglot in disguise, which means you know more than one language. What is the word for Sunday in Spanish? Okay, how about in Italian? Domenica. How about in French? Dimanche. Dimanche. So Domenica, Domingo, Dimanche, these are Latin-based languages. And what it means is the day of the Lord. In English, we say Sunday. You look like you speak German. How do you say it in German? You don't know? You forgot your German, huh? It's Sonntag, okay? It's almost like the same as English, isn't it? Sunday, Sonntag. And what it means, the day of the sun. So tomorrow is the day of the sun, and Jesus is the light of the world, speaking as a poet. No? But also it's the day of the Lord. The most important hour in the week is Holy Mass. Amen? Amen? The most important moment in the week is the body of Christ. Amen. Yep. So there's a day, there's an hour, there's a moment. Amen? There's a day, Sunday, there's an hour, Holy Mass. There's a moment, the body of Christ. Amen. So all of you tomorrow, hopefully you're going to be coming to Mass. And if you haven't gone to confession within a month, we should all go to confession at least every month, right? Hello? Yes. At least every month. Then you want to make sure that you make a good confession and receive communion tomorrow. Amen? Okay, today, what day is today? How about the day of the month?
November 9th.
Good. It's always a good idea when you baptize to know, is it a special feast day in the church? Do any of you know? You should know. You got it. Okay, today, have any of you ever been to Europe? Any ever been to Rome? Okay, you know in Rome, you've been to Rome? You too? Okay, you have what are called the major basilicas. Do you know them?
Yeah.
What are they? Okay, St. Peter, you got St. Paul outside the walls, you got St. Lawrence, but also you have, which is really the church of the Pope, it's really what we celebrate today, St. John Lateran. That St. John is St. John the Baptist. So you should remember your child was baptized on the feast day of the dedication of the Basilica of St. John Lateran. Can you remember that?
Yes.
Very important. And the Liturgy of the Hours, they speak about the temple of St. John Lateran and the temple of our soul. Because when our soul, when we're baptized, we become a temple of God. Amen? We become a living temple of the Blessed Trinity. So there's a connection between the physical structure and what's happening today. Because the children are transformed into sons and daughters of God and temples of the Holy Spirit. What a great grace that is, but what a great responsibility it is. As parents and godparents, your primary responsibility is to bring your children to heaven. You agree with that? The primary responsibility is to bring your children to heaven. Right now, the seed of faith is going to be planted. You're gardeners. You've got to water it. By the way, we're in Hawaiian Gardens, okay? So we're going to be watering that seed so that it grows and flourishes and blossoms so that one day we'll all be safe in God's house, which is called heaven. Amen?
Amen.